skiing, riding, sledding.
No matter how you Vermont, please Vermont safely.
Cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, snowman building.
This year, that means a 7-day home quarantine with a negative COVID-19 test or other travel guidelines.
Ice skating, ice cream eating.
So we can all Vermont safely this year.
Dining, antiquing, shopping, fireside napping.
For full COVID-19 travel guidance, visit VermontVacation.com.
Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday evening and Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and broadcast on the incredible WBCQ, The Planet, broadcasting out of beautiful Monticello, Maine, in Arista County. And it can be heard also on our Podomatic page, and we just increased our status. We're now considered a broadcast status, which gives us unlimited bandwidth. So what we've been doing in the last week or so has been uploading a lot of the audios from the Sam Blumenfeld archive. So people who have not been exposed to his incredible work have access to it from a Podomatic page, and it's becoming quite popular at this point. The show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. And next year's camp will run from July 18th to the 23rd, and we are lining up some excellent instructors, as we do every year. And this year, we filled the camp. We had over 140 people. It was a great experience, and we are hoping for the same thing in 2021. And most of you people have been listening on a regular basis know that I live in Boston, or did live. I'm moving up to New Hampshire to be not closer to the camp, but also to be in a better spot for my family, I think. Anyway, our guest has called in. How you doing there, Keith?
I'm doing just really fantastic. It's a real pleasure to speak to another constitutional patriot.
Well, thank you. Keith, is it pronounced Broders or Broders?
Broders.
Okay, I got it right the first time. And you are with a group called Liberty Tree?
Well, I'm just an individual, and I've got several websites. One of the websites that I use is called the Liberty Tree University, and another one of them is called constitutionalstudies.info. My main objective on these websites is to not to teach or tell people what to think. It's to give people the facts so that they can decide for themselves. One of the biggest problems we have today, I believe, is that most people are so darn lazy that they don't want to use their brain. They want someone else to tell them what the Constitution means. And so basically what they do is they basically memorize, regurgitate, and just repeat the things that they've heard other people say. And my position is that the best way to learn the Constitution is to discover it for yourself. It's an exciting adventure for people to discover what the Founding Fathers had in mind. And so basically, I've created a website that is based on primary source documented evidence. I have one course on the Constitution, one on the Bill of Rights, and one on the Declaration of Independence. People can go to this website, and for free, they can basically take my course on each of those three founding documents. In addition to that, they can play some games. They can play interactive games. They can also participate in lessons, take quizzes, and frankly, they can basically teach themselves the Constitution. They don't need somebody else to tell them what to think. They can think for themselves. All they need is to be given the information so that they have the power to discern.
Before I ask you the question, I do want to point out that there are a number of organizations, in some cases individuals, that have constitutional study groups. Mrs. Catherine White, who's one of our instructors, she has a program called The Constitution Decoded, and she does a couple of classes a month in the greater Boston area, and she has a website called The Constitution Decoded. Constituting America, Janine Turner, the actress, has an organization, and they have some influence in classrooms. Of course, Camp Constitution, There's the National Center for Constitutional Studies, which I guess is a pretty influential entity. They teach people about the Constitution. It was founded by the late Cleon Skousen, who did incredible work, and his great work carries on today. In fact, we get the little pocket constitutions almost exclusively from their organization. And Hillsdale College does a offers a free course. And I would say most of them, all of them I've just mentioned, are pretty sound. But it's always good to see more individuals or groups that are promoting this great document. So give the listeners a little bit about your background.
Well, basically, I was a high school teacher and coach, football coach, wrestling coach, and a very passionate. History was always my favorite subject, but unfortunately, I never really learned very much when I was going to school. I was basically being indoctrinated like everybody else, and it wasn't until around the time that Barack Obama came on the scene that all of a sudden I began my education. That's when I started realizing that I shouldn't take anybody's word for anything. I should study and acquire as many facts as I could, and then basically use those facts to draw my own conclusions. I believe, obviously, that when we were born with a brain, and our founding, our creator wanted us to use that brain to discern. And I started to learn, and I came to the realization that all the time that I spent in school up until around 2008 was basically a waste of time. That's when I started studying things out for myself. And so the thing about this website, which makes my website so different than any other, the main thing about my website is the interactivity of it. In other words, you can play a game of Jeopardy involving the categories. The categories all are related to the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or Declaration of Independence. So you can play Jeopardy on this game, and you can challenge your son or daughter, your grandson or granddaughter, to these very interactive games. You can also play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You can take a whole series of quizzes. There's just a whole lot of activities. It's not where you sit back and listen. My feeling is that when it comes to education, education is not something that is given to you like a package. Education is something that you earn by your own participation. And that's why this website is so different than everything else. By the way, I wanted to mention, you mentioned several really outstanding sources, and I've used all of them. Also, a couple of other sites that I wanted to mention is the Chris Ann Hall is an incredible teacher.
Oh, yes, Chris Ann Hall, absolutely.
And another one is
Chris Ann Hall had been an instructor. I'm sorry, she had been an instructor at our camp over the years, and on our YouTube channel are a number of her videos. If you go to our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution, and just click on playlist, you put Chris Ann Hall, you'll find, I don't know, about a dozen or so of her incredible classes.
She's wonderful. Michael Perutka, the Institute on the Constitution, the American View. He is also really outstanding. And also there's a lot of things that have been done by Rick Green and David Barton also. So there's a tremendous amount of resources out there, but most of these resources are not based on getting the listener to get engaged. Most of them basically are, they basically talk and they lecture and they basically give their spin on the Constitution. But with my website, the difference is that we ask the people basically to take quizzes, to participate interactively online. And in so doing, playing a game of Jeopardy against your mother or father as a high school kid, This engages the whole family. So this is an incredible tool for people who don't want to have somebody else tell them what to think, but people who want to think for themselves.
Well, you brought up something that you said that you were pretty much brainwashed or conditioned in whatever. Did you go to a government school or
I went to the regular public high school.
Went to college. I'm 61, and I went to the Boston public schools, which at one point were pretty good. I got in, I think, towards the end when it was no longer any good. But I had a teacher, my eighth grade history teacher, Mrs. Wolf, and I can't tell you if she was a liberal or a conservative. I know she loved America, and she loved history. You know, she would teach some of the negative things, which I think is important. You know, you want to point out that we're a great country, but we make mistakes like all great countries have. And thankfully, many of the mistakes have been corrected when they can be corrected. But one thing I think she was very right, or she was wrong, was, in fact, I mean, before I mention that, I say back in, and this was back in the 70s, 72, 73, we had to memorize dates. We had to memorize the preamble of the Constitution. So she taught history, but she also included the Constitution, the Declaration. We memorized the Gettysburg Address. There's nothing wrong with memorizing important things, whether it be Bible verses. I think it's extremely important to memorize Bible verses. And some people can't do that, and that's fine, but there are some people that can. And again, it's not just regurgitating something, you know, some rote memory, but it's understanding the preamble, not just,
Well, that's the important part that you just brought up there is understanding. It's the understanding. Just memorizing the dates and things like that is not as important as knowing about what happened, why did it happen, what can we learn from it, et cetera. Those are the things that are most important. I think that memorization is important. I frankly think that we should memorize the Bill of Rights to the best of our ability. And I've got several. I offer three courses on the website. One of the courses is called the Declaration of Independence. One is the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. Each one of these has a series of games and activities and things that people can get involved in as an individual or as a family. Also, one of the things that I'm trying to promote is the idea that maybe what we should do is we should create Constitution clubs on all high school campuses, where the students can basically learn the Constitution outside of the regular curriculum, but they can basically study the Constitution, self-study, and they can basically have competition at the school where Mrs. Brown's class will challenge Mr. Smith's class to a competition to see which class can score the most points on the quizzes collectively, and to play games of Jeopardy, a Jeopardy contest, so that we could actually create a Constitutional Scholar of the Year for each of the high schools. And then we could have contests. Rather than having basketball games and track meets, we could have Constitution Bees, where we could challenge, one school could challenge another to see which school had a better grasp of the Founding Fathers and their original intent.
Well, a couple of years ago, we donated, Camp Constitution donated about almost 2,000 copies, the pocket copies of the Constitution to the Manchester, New Hampshire high school, and we offered to teach it because just having the Constitution itself, while it's okay, if you're not reading it and then reading it through the eyes of the original intent, because you could teach the Constitution. I mean, Obama, for goodness sakes, was a constitutional professor. He taught the Constitution, but I know that his version was that it was written by dead white Eurocentric males, and it has no validity today. It was written in an agricultural society with a population of a couple of million, and it's an outdated document that has no validity today, and we need to change it and so forth. The Electoral College needs to be abolished. So that's what we're getting today. And it was interesting. Some people don't even know what that is. The Electoral College, that has to go. That has to be banned. You say, what is that? Well, they don't know because, like you say, they're just regurgitating things that they've heard.
Well, that's unfortunately the sad truth. Our public schools and the media.
I want to get back to my history teacher. She said that the Constitution upheld slavery. As much as she admired the document, and she looked at what was referred to as the Three-Fifths Compromise in Article 1, which says that for every five slaves, they'll be counted as three people. Now, at first view, it sounds like, five black people are equal to three white people? That doesn't sound right. But if you understood the complete context, at the time, in 1787, only Massachusetts and Pennsylvania had freed their slaves. They had small slave populations. The northern states, that had slavery had small slave populations, but the southern states, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, had large, relatively large slave populations. And if they counted each slave, and the southern delegates said, yes, the more the more people we count in the census, the more congressional representation we have, even though those blacks didn't have the right to vote. And there were free blacks in these southern states, but they didn't have the right to vote, so they didn't have full freedoms. There would have been more members of the Congress that were basically doing the bidding of the slave industry or the slave aristocracy. So the compromise was, no, well, you shouldn't count any. This is what was counted by those in the northern states. And the compromise was, well, for every five, we'll count three. But the Constitution never said that you had to have slavery, that states were free to end it. And it also called for the end of the slave trade by 1808. And the minute a year before it was abolished, the slave trade was abolished. And I think the death penalty for that was installed. So a lot of things of the Constitution. And let me throw that out to you, because we get that a lot, we people who love the Constitution. Is the Constitution, it was written back in 1787, and this is 2020. Why is it valid today? That was a long time ago. What's your response to that?
Well, first off, back in 1787, what was the temperature that water had to reach before it could freeze?
That's right, 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Today it's the same thing. Water boiled at 212 degrees. During when Moses would cross the Red Sea, water boiled at 212 degrees, and it still does. There are things called natural laws that do not change over time. Principles are eternal. They last forever. That which is right today was right hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Like that do not change. And frankly, the progressives want to basically change the meaning of words. The fact that our country is inundated with wordsmiths. They call these wordsmiths lawyers. They basically are attorneys. Well, the word "attorn" means to twist. Attorneys twist the meaning of words so that they can basically cause the people to believe things that aren't necessarily true. So that's one of the problems that we have is that people are not – the Constitution does not need to be interpreted. The Constitution means what it meant when it was written. It doesn't change over time.
There's some words in there that are archaic that we don't – and I point this out to people too. They'll say a well-regulated militia being necessary to the defense of a free state, and they'll say, oh, that means you have to have all kinds of laws and rules. It's just, yes, you do need regulations, but that's not what it meant. It meant that each militia unit in the several states were regular, that they were consistent, that they were trained.
Well-equipped. Well-equipped.
Equally trained.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you call out the militia, I'm the president, and I need the militia called out to put down a problem in another state, I'm hoping that the officers are trained. The officers in New Hampshire have the same type of training as the officers in Maine or California. So when they are called out, that there's some kind of cohesiveness, that when you utter an order, that it's understood regardless of where you're from. And that was a problem in the Civil War too, between West Point trained officers and non-West Point trained officers. So that's what that meant. It had nothing to do with all kinds of regulations, you know. So.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, they weren't well controlled from the top down. It was controlled from the bottom up. So anyway, the Constitution, like I said, Scalia said it well. He's basically said, you know, the Constitution means what it meant when it was written. We don't need to interpret it. If you take a look at the concept of judicial review, that is not in the Constitution. There's nothing
That's
in the
correct,
Constitution
yeah.
that gives the Supreme Court the authority to interpret the Constitution. The concept of judicial review was essentially invented by the Supreme Court under John Marshall. And when the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution, what they do, for all intents and purposes, they violate the very first article in the Constitution, where it says all legislative powers herein granted are granted to the Congress of the United States. Well, so many of the laws or policies that we follow today came about because of Supreme Court rulings And these rulings are not laws. They are suggestions. In fact, the Supreme Court rulings are called opinions. It's up to the people in the states to be the final arbiter of the Constitution. The Supreme Court is not the final arbiter of the Constitution. We the people, we are.
That's correct. What troubles me is the idea that Roe versus Wade, for example, is settled law. Well, first off, as you know, it's not law. It was a very bad Supreme Court decision that should never have struck down any laws in any state. And in fact, it should disconcern the case, and the baby was already born by the time the Supreme Court heard the case. So they should have said, hey, this is irrelevant now. There's no case here. The child's born, and that's that. And not only that, and again, when the Supreme Court does not have a police force, they have no way of enforcing any of these decisions. Wasn't the Supreme Court decision ignored in Pennsylvania recently on over the election issue? It's up to the Attorney General to uphold or enforce a decision, and the Attorney General should never enforce something that's unconstitutional. In fact, you remember the case, the Kim Davis case in Kentucky?
Yes, yes.
Yes, she was a town or county official, and she refused to disobey the state law that said you only issue marriage license to males and females. And it was the Obama administration. They had no trouble enforcing Supreme Court decisions when it suited them. They sent out federal marshals and put Kim Davis in a county jail. And had I been the county sheriff, I would have arrested the federal marshals, put them in a county jail, and built the federal government for the time they were incarcerated, and said, you will not come into this county trying to enforce a Supreme Court decision and violate state law. Out you go. And there are
Sheriff
some examples where sheriffs have done that.
Sheriff Mack
has
made a presentation on several occasions where he talked about how the sheriff, who basically took Rosa Parks into custody when she was sitting in the front of the bus. What he should have done then is he should have said, you know, this law is wrong. It's unjust. It's unconstitutional. I'm not going to enforce it. And frankly, going back to Dred Scott, I mean, the northern states, many of the northern states refused to comply with the law because they felt that the Supreme Court was wrong, because the people are the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution.
And that was the Dred Scott decision that said that if Dred Scott was a slave that was brought into a northern state by his owner, and at that point he should have been considered free. He, by the way, he got justice in the southern court. The southern it got to the Supreme Court and they ruled against him. A lot of people don't know that. Oh, the old redneck. No, the state he won his case, but then it was appealed to the Supreme Court, and he lost. He eventually got his freedom. I think at the time the decision was made, he was already a free man. But nevertheless, that law was upheld, and that sort of helped bring along the Civil War. Maybe not that case in itself. But again, it's another thing, too, when you hear these leftists during the Obamacare issue, when Obamacare was first passed in some states that were going to nullify it, or at least they talked about it, oh, you're a neo-Confederate. Well, they don't know their own history, because, as you said a few minutes ago, that states did indeed, no, some states did nullify the Fugitive Slave Act law, and they just refused to obey it.
Well, I would like to invite everybody who's listening tonight to please write it down, http://constitutionalstudies.info. This is an incredible website. I ask you to challenge, if you're a man, I ask you to challenge your significant other to a contest of Jeopardy. I ask you to challenge your children and ask them to play a game of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with constitutional questions. Get involved. Don't just sit back and listen. Learning is a proactive sport. You just don't sit back and listen or watch a video. You've got to get involved. You've got to get engaged. And that's where my website is so different than virtually all of the others, because the primary focus that I have is to learn the Constitution by participating in interactive activities.
One of the things that we do, We do a little outreach. We do outreach as often as we can, and there are times when we would have an information table, whether it be a homeschool show or a rally, or even downtown Boston on Boston Common, we have a 10-question quiz, and people like taking quizzes. Some people are afraid to take our quiz, but the quiz isn't designed to make people feel stupid. Oh my goodness, I only got one wrong, one right out of 10. The goal is to get them to understand that they need to learn more about the Constitution. And many of the people that we would come over the table, they say, "Oh, I learned that in high school," and they're in their 50s or 60s, and they haven't picked up a Constitution. And I'm not equating the Constitution with the Bible. Don't get me wrong, but some things, it's like you don't just read it once. You might read it. You might read Catcher in Rye if you went to a public school. You read it once because it was your assignment and you forgot about it and it was a book worthy of forgetting about. But the Constitution isn't something you just read once and forget, because I tell people that it is the owner's manual for a free people.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very well said. So anyway, that's the message.
Yeah, I'm saying I think it's great when people interact to make it. Learning should be fun. And if you can't have fun while you're learning, then the teaching method probably isn't a very good method. And that's why I think a lot of people, when they do, "Oh, that's a boring subject," you fall asleep. And I think some of that's deliberate. They make American history boring. They make learning the Constitution boring, when it should just be the opposite. It should be a very fascinating and fun thing, and intellectually stimulating thing.
Well, I really encourage people to visit the website, to get involved, to educate themselves, take the responsibility. The parents need to understand that when their children come into the world, the parents have a responsibility to take care of them, to defend them, to feed them, to clothe them, and to teach them and to educate them. Too many parents have decided that, well, I'm too busy, I need to let the school take care of educating my children. Well, that's a very dangerous proposition, because the things that the schools are teaching our children are not correct. They're teaching them a lot of false doctrines. They're teaching them things that involve unethical principles. They're preaching the gospel of socialism, which Karl Marx one time said that socialism is the road to communism. And he also said that democracy is the road to socialism, and socialism is the road to communism. So if we want to be free, the best thing for us to do if we want to be free is to get ourselves educated. One of the biggest problems that we have in our elections is the vast majority of the voters are ignorant and uninformed. When you have ignorant and uninformed people voting, they make very, very bad choices, as witnessed
by
our most recent election.
That's right. They make dangerous decisions because they have no understanding. And some of the arguments about the proper role of government, for example, health care. Federal government has no business in it. It comes to education.
It's not in the Constitution. You know, one of the things that I think is really important too is the fact that in our country today, when we have elections, there's two parties, and we have something called the majority rule. That is the winner take all in the primaries and in the Electoral College. That principle is completely unconstitutional. The Constitution, Article 4, says that we're to have a Republican form of government. Well, when you give the majority,
Keith, we got 30 seconds.
I heard you.
Okay. How can listeners get a hold? Give out your websites again.
http://constitutionalstudies.info. Hal, thank you so much for the opportunity to share
my
little.
Thank you, and I'm going to be posting this on a few on Podomatic, and I'll have information in the description and also on YouTube. So I'll copy and paste your website. Thank you again, Keith, thank you for coming on such short notice. Folks, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sherliff, and until next week, may God richly bless you.
Skiing, riding, sledding, winter biking, winter hiking.
No matter how you Vermont, please Vermont safely.
Cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, snowman building.
This year, that means a 7-day home quarantine with a negative COVID-19 test or a 14-day home quarantine with no symptoms to visit.
Snowball fighting, ice skating, ice climbing, ice fishing, ice cream eating.
So we can all Vermont safely this year.
Dining, craft beering.
Talk to your favorite inner resort about smart travel suggestions, reservation policies, and the best way to Vermont this winter.
Hot cocoaing, antiquing, shopping, fireside napping.
For full COVID-19 travel guidance, visit VermontVacation.com.